Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. Join us today along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Leslie Silva, and Martin Arinaga. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guests, we invite you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. General Omar Nelson Bradley stated, "We need to learn to set our course by the stars, not by the lights of every passing ship." During this time of turbulence on the world and national scene, there are changes. In times of economic crisis, there is change. Let us be guided by the Lord and His Word, not by every whim and subtle distraction or that which charges us emotionally. General George S. Patton said, "Live for something rather than die for nothing." My guest today has certainly lived for something. He, along with many other Marines, have lived for the greater causes of our nation and our world. And more than that, Colonel C.J. May is set on course and anchored in his relationship and love for Jesus Christ. Now, we want to let you know, as we typically do at the beginning of our show, why we have this program. The Good Life Hawaii Show is here for you. As you listen, whether you plan to listen, you're a regular member of our community of listeners, whether you just sort of made your way onto our program, well, it's to serve you in a way that perhaps you haven't been served. And by that I mean in needs that are deep within the soul, beneath just the externals and the exteriors of what sometimes we are very masterful at performing in the charade of life, which is something that many may feel like they're in it right now or performing in some way. But we like to get to the real heart of things, because somewhere in that, through that reality, there is a connection with God, because God is a God of truth. And there's also a liberty and a release that comes as a result of that. Now, all that being said, in essence, what is it? It's to bring you closer and closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to remind you that whatever you might be facing, whatever challenge, whatever situation, however daunting it might seem, God is with you. And God loves you. And that's why He sent us here. And today, Colonel C.J. May and myself, to remind you of God's everlasting and ever so gracious love for you, whatever situation, whatever circumstance. Colonel C.J. May is a colonel in the United States Marines. He's married to Kimiko, and they have two children, Makoto and Naomi. Naomi is at the United States Naval Academy. She is there at Annapolis. They have one grandchild, Xavier. Colonel, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Danny.
Tell us, where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in Florida, Hollywood, Florida. Mm-hmm. And I was, after a couple years, we moved to Ohio to live in Dayton. So I was raised, large part of my life was in Dayton, Ohio.
So East Coast, mm-hmm. Other side of the country.
Yes.
Weather similar to Hawaii?
It is the exact opposite. It is antithetical to Hawaii's weather.
Is that right?
You're correct. In the summertime, it gets really hot, but in the wintertime, it gets really cold.
Oh, okay, okay. So that makes it antithetical.
Yes, indeed.
Well, tell me, who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, that's hard to say. There's one person that's come to me as we've had our discussions prior to this little the show we're doing today. Is my grandpa, you know. He was a large influence in my life. Sorry.
How did grandpa impact you so deeply?
He was a man of God. And he just, everything he did was to glorify God, and he was just a great man. I hope that I can pattern my life after him. That's what I've been trying to do, because he was always forgiving, he was always calm, and he was very loving.
Wow, what a legacy.
Yes. He was a coal miner back in Kentucky. He was he lost his mother and father at a very young age, and he was the oldest brother. And he worked in coal mines from the age of 12 until roughly about his 18th or 19th year. Then he moved to Ohio from Kentucky, met my grandmother, and worked through the Depression and had a 48-year career at McCall's Corporation. Mm-hmm. And McCall's used to be the place that printed magazines for almost the entire United States. Yes. He was a printing machinist, a printing press machinist, dedicated to a cause, dedicated to something greater than himself always.
48 years.
Yes.
Wow. You know, for me, I didn't get a lot of time with my grandparents at all. I mean, I'm youngest in my family, and not much time at all. But for you, how many years did you get to spend with your grandpa?
Well, all of my formative years, all the way through till just before the time I got married. He went to be with the Lord in 1986, so I was, 25? So 25 years of my life, so half of my life.
You were able to see consistency.
Yes.
Just a kind of like a rock faith, steady.
Yes.
Now, how did that example make a difference in the perhaps your disposition, your personality, and the way that you are today?
Well, he was very forgiving, and I would like to think of myself as a, you know, very forgiving, and I think he gained that forgiveness from his, you know, lifelong devotion to Christ, and that attitude of forgiveness and love someone, mm-hmm. and to love the person no matter what.
Grandpa was a Christian.
Yes.
Did you grow up in a Christian home?
I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell us, you know, some people grow up in a Christian home, but they don't, some find Christ when they're young and they continue on, and others respond differently. Everyone's unique. CJ, how did you become a Christian?
That has always been a question that I go through in my mind, because, you know, when you run across in the field of being in the evangelistic field or being mm-hmm. in church, involved in any ministry, mm-hmm. you come across people who have a testimony of the exact moment knowing when they became a Christian. Mm-hmm. I would have to say that was in my high school years. But prior to that, I always was brought up with the love of Jesus in my heart, you know, because mm-hmm. That's all I saw around me was the love of Jesus and you know, people who praise God. You know, my mother was an evangelistic singer. Mm-hmm. My dad was an evangelistic instrumentalist, musician, singer, and we grew up in that kind of environment. So you always profess, you know, a love for Jesus. And then about my eighth grade years when I went to a school called Dayton Christian High School in Dayton, Ohio. Graduated with a class of 79, and I believe it was really a firm commitment that I made to Jesus in my sophomore year, so that would have been 1976, and it just came about in kind of a youth camp setting overnight with my class, and we were all around the campfire and talking about Jesus and talking about things, and we all determined that we would just commit ourselves that night, many of us that mm-hmm. night, I recall. And that's as I recall, it's quite a few years ago, actually, mm-hmm. but my recollection is there. And then just went from there. Now I've strayed, just as everyone else probably mm-hmm. has. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I've done that, probably to this day, but my loyalty and my Savior is Jesus.
Mm-hmm. You know, you have a background growing up as in a Christian family. What was your relationship with your parents like?
Well, my mother, a lot of people ask me how I've survived, and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that it's the prayers of my mother that kept me alive in many different situations, not necessarily related to the military, but her prayers have been what sustained me through my life. I'm positive of it. My father and mother were divorced when I was 5, so I didn't have a relationship with my father until much later in life, until roughly about the time of my graduation from college.
So Grandpa, the grandpa you speak of is your dad, your mom's dad?
Yes.
So he was your father figure growing up.
Yes.
Very strong, godly
very
father
strong.
Figure.
Yes.
Hmm. What a blessing.
Yes.
Especially in this era.
Yes.
There is such a growing dearth of father figures, positive, godly, Christ-like role models. And of course, we're seeing that in its domino effect over the course of generations in our own society. Now, Colonel, when we come back, I'd like for you to share with us a little bit about how you chose to become a United States Marine.
Okay.
I mean, it's such an elite corps. How do you feel God led you? What happened in the process? How does it relate to your spiritual journey? And what led to the things that you're doing now? We'll get into it throughout the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more from Colonel C.J. May.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii radio show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Back to our show. I'm here with my special guest today, Colonel C.J. May. Colonel May is a colonel with the United States Marines. He's been a United States Marine for the better part of 28 years, a career Marine. And Colonel C.J. May has, you know, been around, you might say, to say the least. I mean, he's been a pilot. He's been a specialist in scuba diving. He has, in high school, he was a track star. He competed both in the high school and collegiate levels with some of the best, the nation's best athletes in track and cross country. And he's been a leader of leaders. And he's with us today to speak from his heart. Before our break, I was just kind of giving a little sense of what we're going to do when we come back. And Colonel, what made you want to become a Marine?
Ever since I can remember, there was another male figure in my life, my Aunt Donna's husband, Dr. Hugh Townsley. He passed away this year, World War II veterinarian, Marine Corps chief warrant officer. During World War II, he was in the Philippines and spent a lot of time in China after the war, developing there, helping them with their communication systems. He had a great influence on my life. He always used to call me Colonel. I guess it was kind of an ominous sign, but he used to call me Colonel all the time. And but I looked up to him, and of course my grandfather, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And just throughout the years of my life, I had this tendency to aviation. I loved aviation. Mm-hmm. It was when I was your son's age, I was reading flight manuals.
Really?
I used to check them out when I was in eighth grade and seventh grade and just read flight manuals and learn everything there was to know about aviation. So I was enthralled with aviation. And when I was 16, I started my pilot training for a private pilot's license and soloed on my 17th birthday. I beg your pardon. Got my license on my 17th birthday. Mm-hmm. So I was flying around when I was 17.
17 years old, flying around.
So that led me into, you know, the thought of missionary aviation. Mm. I was going to be a missionary aviation for Jungle Aviation Radio Service, or there's a couple other MAP, Missionary Aviation Fellowship. And went to college, a Christian college named Taylor University in Upland, Indiana. Mm-hmm. Graduated from there in 83. But in the summer of 82, in part of my workouts, I was running around the middle of nowhere, Ohio, near Arcanum, Ohio, on a very long distance run in a very small town, probably population of about 200, not even a stoplight at the corner, just a stop sign at the main intersection of the town. And I was out running and I was taking a break and getting some water. And there was a sedan, a Marine Corps sedan. I can see it. It was a green and white sedan. And there was this Marine. He must have been 7 feet tall. He was perfectly squared away in his blue and red trousers with the khaki-colored shirt and the white hat. We call them covers. And I stopped, and he looked at me and made eye contact. He says, "Hey, you, what are you doing with the rest of your life?" And I said, "Excuse me?" He goes, "What are you doing with the rest of your life?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to fly planes for the missionaries. I was going to fly medical supplies down the Amazon and do all that stuff." And he's like, "Why don't you fly planes for the Marines?" And I said, "Well, the Marines have airplanes?" I didn't even know the Marines had aircraft at the time. Rather embarrassing moment. But needless to say, 2 weeks later, I was standing tall in Columbus, Ohio, swearing in as a private in the Marine Corps. Waiting.
2 weeks later.
2 weeks later. Hook, line, and sinker.
Jeez. Now, were you, had you finished your collegiate studies?
Well, the way it worked was, that was the summer of 82. So on the 1st of September, I raised my hand in 1982 and swore to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, et cetera. And then my entrance was delayed until February of 83, which was the time I planned to graduate. I graduated a semester early in order to get to the next class that was convening, Officers Candidates Class, 122nd Officer Candidates Class in 1983, Charlie Company.
Wow. Now, what was it like? What was it like? Was it what you expected, Or did the training surprise you?
Well, you can't really express in words what happens that first day, especially if you inadvertently parked in the commanding officer of the basic of the officer candidate's class parking spot. Needless to say, it was quite the shock. It was quite a few, 3 or 4 days of just intense, you know, rebuilding of the individual, you know, rebuilding of your mindset, you know, and rebuilding of your character. Always always under assessment as to whether you can do the things that would be required of you when you actually get your commission and become an officer in the Marine Corps. That's definitely challenging, the most challenging thing I've ever done in my entire life, by far.
Now, what was it that, you know, as a pilot, you were already a pilot.
Yes.
So how did that connect?
Well, I had an air guarantee. And for those of you who may not know this, there are no guarantees in the military. When you hear the word guarantee, go the other way. There are no guarantees. I'm living testimony. But, yeah, I had an air contract, so my path was to be, once I was commissioned, I would go to Pensacola, and I was slated for fighter jets. I had all the aptitude for it, but I had a physical difficulty that didn't surface until way down the road, chronic sinusitis, which you can't really fly and pull G's when you have real bad sinuses. It's pretty bad. So that's why I'm no longer in the field. But the connection was my whole motivation to get through OCS and to become an officer was to fly planes, fly jets.
Well, where did you do your training?
Quantico, Virginia.
So you're Quantico, Virginia. You're an East Coast man, grew up in Florida. But you're here in Hawaii.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, so there's a gap.
There's a
and
huge
I'm,
gap.
I'm interested, and I'm quite certain a good number of our dear listeners are wondering, okay, how did you get here? You're in the Marines. Tell us, what happened?
Well, Dr. Townsley, Uncle Hugh, and Aunt Donna had lived on Maui since the early 60s. He was a practicing doctor there on the island of Maui. And at a certain point in my Marine career, I ended up, after my training at the basic school, which is also in Quantico, that's kind of the officer's finishing school. You go through 24 weeks of more harassment. I didn't just say that, but it's what it is. You learn about all the things the Marine Corps has to offer as far as occupational specialties, all the different force structures, and then you get transported to wherever your first duty station was to be. And mine was to be Okinawa, Japan. Excuse me. When I went to Okinawa, I had a lot to learn. So things didn't go as well as the standard career Marine would have them go. And I ended up transferring to the reserves in 1986. And what that did for me was make me have to decide where I was going to live. And during this whole period of time after college and our whole family moved to Maui. My mom and her sister, Donna, they lived together. My grandmother and grandfather all moved to Maui to be with Aunt Donna and the family. And needless to say, I had a decision. I either was going to go be in California or go to Hawaii and live in Hawaii, and the choice wasn't too difficult. So I moved back to Hawaii. I moved to Hawaii for the first time in 1986, in August of 86. Okay. And that's where I started living in Hawaii.
Living in Hawaii, single man?
At the time, yes.
Okay. Now, how did you meet your wife? Now, you're also a bilingual,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes, I speak Japanese.
Okay.
And pidgin. No, I'm just kidding.
So, trilingual. That counts.
I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
So, how did you meet your wife?
Wow. That's another long story for you, but it just all these things, hopefully, you'll start to see a pattern in God's God's way of working in someone's life, despite your desire, despite where you think you may want to go, God has a plan for you.
Yeah.
And way back in the early 60s, mid-60s, my grandmother visited my aunt, who had lived on Maui.
Okay.
And she started going to the Nazarene Church on Maui because she went to church. No matter where she went to church on Sunday.
Okay.
One of the preachers there was Yamamoto Sensei, Charles Yamamoto Sensei. He was in the Japanese Imperial Army in World War II, converted to Christianity and fled to the United States.
Okay.
He was a first-generation Japanese, and he had a church in Spreckelsville, later on in Maui. Very small little settlement there, plantation-like. It was called the Maui Nisei Kyokai, which is the first-generation, second-generation church. Of all the Japanese people that live on Maui went to this church, many of them who were Christians. Mm-hmm. And he was a very close family friend. And in April of 1986, my grandmother fell ill with a stroke. And I came back from Okinawa, where I was at the time. And she was kind of local parentis for me, so they granted me emergency leave to come back and be with her. She didn't die, but I saw Pastor Yamamoto there, Yamamoto-sensei. And he said to me, he told me, you have to come to my church when you come to live here in August. I have a great church with a lot of youth and a very active youth group. And I thought about it and then kind of forgot about it. Then in August of 86, when I moved to Maui, after a couple weeks, I said, you know what, I'm going to go see, you know, Sensei's church. Mm-hmm. And then what happened was, I go to the church, and the entire congregation, except for one, were original immigrants from Japan and plantation workers, most of whom were over 80.
Wow.
Fascinating church, just a fascinating place. Mm. But one of the congregation was a young lady who was about my age, very attractive, mm-hmm. going to Maui Community College, mm-hmm. and needless to say, he introduced me to her, and the rest is kind of history. So, wow. That's amazing.
You know, you can... Who said a church of octogenarians is not the place to be, huh?
That's right.
You know, you're talking about God's hand moving all through your life, and I can see the fingerprints of the Lord intricately woven and weaving through the tapestry of Colonel C.J. May. Now you meet the girl that is now your wife.
Yes.
And in some ways, perhaps in many ways, it's the beginning of an unfolding chapter that gets even deeper, that takes you deeper in your faith, that takes you deeper in your relationship with one another, and ultimately deeper in your relationship with your Lord, our Lord. When we come back, Colonel, I'd like for you to share more about what God has done since the time that you guys met on Maui and at Yamamoto Sensei's church, how God orchestrated the two of you coming together, and what took place as a result, how things began to unfold as your family has grown and your careers have grown. We're all interested. I'm interested to hear what God has done. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Colonel C.J. May.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Colonel C.J. May, Colonel of the United States Marines. You know, Colonel May is he's a very sophisticated man. He's a tough guy, a terrific athlete. But you know what? He has an incredible singing voice. I've heard him multiple times in person. And not only, you know, there are certain specific individuals that the Lord has somehow touched, or you might say he's just kissed them with this blessing of a voice. But when it comes to Colonel May, he has the grace of God's anointing as he sings, and the Spirit of God begins to move in the lives of people who are listening. It becomes a supernatural event when you experience someone under the anointing of God's Spirit singing. It's more than just beautiful sounds. But you know, just like how a singing voice or a song has various rhythms and tempos and pitches, and life is like that. And sometimes when we get in our families, in the family life, there's an ebb and flow in family. Well, before our break, Colonel May was talking to us about Sprecklesville, Maui.
Yes.
Pastor Yamamoto, and there's one young person his age, a female young lady there in a church of predominantly octogenarians,
the
sweet old generation. And they get together. Colonel, take us from there. Tell us, how did you guys obviously were attracted to each other, but then you got married. What happened?
Well, that day, Yamamoto-sensei told me to help her with her English, because she was from Ibaraki, Japan,
mm-hmm.
outside of Tokyo, and their family was a they had an unagi restaurant.
Okay.
Freshwater eel, big restaurant in Japan.
Uh-huh.
And so he always used to ask me, do you like unagi? And I said, of course I like unagi. And it's kind of like the Karate Kid sensei, the same kind of feeling.
Yeah.
Do you like unagi? You know, unagi on, unagi off.
Right.
But I ended up really liking unagi, believe it or not. And I helped Kimiko with her studies in English.
Did you speak Japanese?
At the time, I was learning more Japanese. I had started to study when I was in Okinawa.
In Okinawa, okay.
But then I was thrust into it as my career on Maui, along with my reserve Marine Corps career.
Mm-hmm.
I had a career in the tourism industry as a Japanese tour coordinator and sales manager for a boat company. Went to Molokini Island every day for 12 years almost on Maui, on the Waileakai. And but anyway, through that time, over about a period of 3 months, was all it took. And about Thanksgiving-ish, 86, I asked Kimiko to marry me. And in September of 87, we were married. So we had a longer engagement, roughly a year engagement, and then we're married in September of 87.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now you have two children, right?
We do, yes.
Naomi.
Yes.
And Makoto.
Makoto, yes.
Tell us about your children. Tell us about Naomi.
Well, Naomi, she's a second-class midshipman at the Naval Academy. She's a systems design, weapons systems engineering major. She has eclipsed me already. She's she's just fantastic. Very proud of her.
What high school did she graduate from?
She graduated from Campbell High School.
Proud Campbell Sabres.
That's right.
All right.
There's actually a very large contingent of Campbell Sabres at the Naval Academy.
Is that right?
Quite a few. Hawaii is well represented at the Naval Academy.
What would you attribute that to, the strong Hawaii representation, or even a Campbell representation?
You know, I can't quite put my finger on that. I would attribute it to a good recruitment program. I would say that there is a tendency, and this is just my personal opinion, there's a tendency towards academic excellence at Campbell. And there are quite, if you go to the graduations, you'll be amazed at the scholarships and the focus that's placed on being successful and putting Hawaii on the map.
Wow.
That's my opinion. I don't know what the actual thing is. And there's lots of factors.
Well, I've heard that the scholarships, you know, in total are running in the millions.
Yes, they are.
Of resources, financial resources for the students. So Naomi's doing well.
Yes, she is.
Tell us about Makoto.
Makoto is 18. He graduated from Campbell. He's currently working at a local retail store here in Pearl Ridge, and he has a child. I have a grandson, as you mentioned, Xavier, Charles Joseph Xavier. He's the fourth. So it's been quite an interesting road over the last few months and few years. God is working in that area of our lives right now. He is, over the years, my wife and I have had, we've been very blessed. We've been very blessed, and I think this last 5 to 6 years have been one of, since 9/11 actually, have been one of severe testing for our family.
In what way, Colonel?
Well, it's hard to explain, but needless to say that when 9/11 happened, everybody's lives changed forever. And lest we forget that there are many people that my personal friends who are currently on the battlefield in Afghanistan doing humanitarian operations in the Pacific AOR, you know, doing humanitarian operations in Iraq and waving our American flag around the nations and defending our constitutional rights. But everybody's life changed on 9/11. I was mobilized to active duty to come and support the efforts over here in the Pacific under PACOM, the Pacific Command. I worked over there in their current operations division on active duty for about 7 years. And during that period of time, I think, just to be honest with you, I think I was separated. Well, I know I was separated from my family. They were on Maui. I was here. It didn't seem like a distance, but it may as well have been on the other side of the world because I didn't get to come home very often. And I think those were some of the formative years of my son. I think he missed having a dad during that period of time. And when we finally, in 2003, moved our family over here to live in Eva Beach, he was very susceptible to peer pressure and yielded to that and consequently got mixed up with the wrong people and got into some pretty bad things that included substance abuse of just about every kind imaginable and other abuses about every kind imaginable. And this began to surface about 4 years ago, about, I would say, 2007-ish. Mid-2007, we started seeing signs. And from 2007 to 2008 was when it all kind of culminated. And God was going to show his hand in a great way in late 2008. It was very trying for us. I'm hoping for the background music from Cops, you know, Bad Boys, What You Gonna Do? Lots of scenes that could have been in that television series, on our street, in our house.
How did you deal with that? How did Kimiko deal with that?
Well, I just have to go back to the steadfast roots that no matter what happens, there's always the promise of God's salvation. There's always the promise that he has you in his hands and that he will always be there for you and you can always cry out to him and he will hear your cries. It may not seem like he's there right away, but always in the background, I had a hope that God was working to do something, that he was going to reveal himself. And through the prayers of many, and this is entering kind of into our Grace Bible Church, our small group organizations, through prayers, basically, that's when we started noticing some changes in Makoto. And it all culminated in one evening prayer, believe it or not, right in front of a Starbucks in Kunia, here on the island of Oahu. We had a very large group that night. Probably had to break it up into two, maybe 12, 13 folks.
Wow.
And
big group.
And I will tell you that we prayed for a breakthrough. And there was crying. There were liftings. There was lifting of hands. And I broke down because of all the stress and pressure and just cried out to God. I mean, just cried out in brokenness and, and just feeling like I was going to be defeated because it was my son. I was watching the decline and potential death of my son to this evil thing that's out there. It's evil. There's just evil. And we, but we prayed for that breakthrough. And not too long after that, it all came to a head, and Makoto was, it's very graphic, but none. He was arrested several times, never really booked on any charges, but he was arrested, and through a series of counselors and through a series of events in his life, he came to the point where he just one evening in our, actually it was probably like 2 or 3 in the morning in our living room, he just looked at me and he didn't recognize me, didn't recognize his mother. And it was like he just came out of it and he just said, "Dad, help me." And I'll never forget those words. Just a cry from him. He needed help. And I said, "That's what I'm here for. That's what I've been trying to do all these months and trying to get you through this problem." So it was after that that through the prayers of our small group and the support of our pastors coming to our house and praying with us and you know, just talking through the problems with us, that he's now turned around. He's been clean for nearly 2 years, completely clean, and he's making something out of himself. And let me tell you, when we tap into what's inside of that boy, you think I've got a bio.
You know, when we come back, we're going to talk more about, well, Colonel May talked about tapping in to his son Makoto, the things that God has done in his life. He's just a young man, but God has already done so much. Makes me wonder, wow, what an amazing feeling it must have been to hear your son say, "Help me, Dad." You know, caused me to think, hey, what about when we say to God, "God, help me"? Are you at that place? Just like Colonel May, he was eager. God is eager. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Namelessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii radio show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Colonel C.J. May. Colonel May is a colonel with the United States Marines. He's married to Kimiko. Kimiko is a real estate agent,
yes,
isn't
for,
she?
Yes, she is, for Prudential Locations.
For Prudential Locations. Now, Colonel May and Kimiko are very successful in what they do, and they're... He was talking about his son Makoto, his younger son, second child, and about a very trying season, which really started and was catapulted right after 9/11, and it involved an extreme amount of substance abuse, and where Colonel May was was like he was witnessing the demise of his precious child, and it broke down in a small group there in Kunia at Starbucks. And it makes me just marvel at how God works in the most seemingly innocuous places, where you might not even think, you know, is God into Starbucks? Is God in Kunia? Yeah. Well, he's there where you are in your lowest and sometimes your most broken moments. And in this case, it happened there, and you prayed, and there was a breakthrough. And you said that your son came and said, Dad, help me. Help me. And what was your feel when you heard Makoto say, Dad, help me? What was it?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is a phrase that may or may not be germane. You have to strike while the iron is hot.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of...
Absolutely germane.
there was no time, and that was the beginning of the recovery phase for him. And we knew that we had to act, and, you know, we had eventually, I think, gotten him into some counseling. We had sent him to Kahimohala.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple times, actually, that was the beginning. There were, again, as you mentioned, kind of these rhythms of relapse and then a final, you know, surrender. I think it was probably but within 2 weeks after that time, he had really come to a place where the police had to, like, seven or eight police officers to take him, to put him in the ambulance and take him to Kahimohala again. And spent several times in there, and... the judicial system got involved, juvenile. He was given a probation officer. Probation officer, who, working, excellent lady, just worked with us, worked with our family. And in addition to, you know, some of the pastors at Grace Bible Church, spending time individual one-on-one, getting him into our small group and getting him to be able to vent some of the things that he needed to get out. It's just been a process of rebuilding a life that was truly broken.
How old was he when all this was going on?
14, 15, and 16.
Hmm. Well, you know, there is a God.
Yes.
And there is a devil.
Yes.
And there are forces of darkness that would love to destroy. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes we just need to be reminded of it. Make no mistake about it. The devil is not our friend. He is not a good acquaintance. He is here to destroy. But there is a God.
And every time that the slightest amount of progress or the breakthrough or the time when Makoto, you know, gave his life over to, you know, to Christ,
mm-hmm.
Which was roughly a year and a half ago, maybe two. Time has a tendency to kind of all dovetail together. You kind of lose track of it. Every time he would make an announcement or a proclamation of his faith, something would happen, some trial, some test that would cause him to consider relapse, or, you know, the voices at night, or the different things that used to scare him, the remnants of this addiction, the relapses, the flashbacks, would come at a time when he had just, for example, got baptized. And he would come into our bedroom and just be in tears and shaking, "God, Dad, please pray, you know, just pray." He couldn't even tell me what to pray for because it was so scary to him. But those are fading now. God's being strong in his life, you know. Of course, now that he has a child, it was a little bit of an unexpected thing, but I still, in my heart of hearts, feel that there's a purpose for all of this. And our Xavier is the most, he's just so beautiful. He's such a beautiful child, and his fiancée, Tori, is his marvelous young mother still at Campbell. Doing her best, and God is working in everyone's life, and it's dynamic. It's hard to put my finger on everything that's happening right now, but I can tell you that unequivocally that my son Makoto has turned his life over to Jesus, and at the time and when he expresses his faith and continues to march on that path, that right path, it's amazing to see what God can do.
Colonel, you share, and God gives hope to people whose lives are turning upside down. It may be with a child. It may be at work. It may be in an area of finances or some relationship. It may be in health. Tell us, what would you say to somebody right now who is at an upheaval in life, and there is that ebb and flow, and, you know, sometimes up, sometimes down. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a grandparent. Maybe it's somebody just in the middle of their career that thought all was well, and suddenly things have changed. What would you say that God would want you to say to someone who's going through a time like that?
Psalms 50:15 says, "And call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Let me tell you, there's been a lot of calling out in times of trouble for me, because this is just one of many stories in my close, soon-to-be 50 years of life that we could have a show on. I tell you, when you think of the history and where I've been and what I've done and near-death experiences, and in every instance, when I have called, truly called upon God, truly from my heart, and not just like a vending machine, but just as in my always, I've always felt like God is there to protect me. And again, back to the prayers of my mother, you know, protect my son, build a wall of fire around my son. You know, I've always called out to him, and in some way, shape, or form, he always evidences. He comes in and he evidences himself and manifests himself in a situation. Even this most dire situation with my son, there was always this call, there was always this thing, "I'm with you. Lo, I'm with you always, even into the end of the earth." You know, that's where I come from.
Colonel, can you say a prayer? Pray over somebody who's struggling right now. Could you do that?
I'd be honored and happy to.
Please.
Heavenly Father, we are just thankful for this time that we could be together to share a story that might in some way help someone out there who might be struggling with something like it or something totally different. But Father, as you have come to me so many times and comforted me when it just didn't seem like there could be any comfort, we just pray that you would give the
person that might have this difficulty or people that might be having these difficulties, the same comfort and faith, the level, the ability to have that faith in you, Father, faith that can move the mountain, Father. And I believe it with all my heart, and will believe on behalf of those who may not have the ability to believe, Father, right now, that you would protect them. And even if there's one person out there that might be struggling with that addiction or that affliction, or that, as Paul talked about, the thorn in the side that you couldn't do anything about, we just pray, Father, you would bless them and keep them safe in your charge, Father. We bless you, and we thank you, God, for everything you've given us, and for our Marines, sailors, airmen, and soldiers that are out there right now. We pray that you would comfort them, come to them and be with them in their time of need. When they call out to you, Father, listen and hear them. We know you do. In Jesus' holy name.
Jesus'
name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Colonel.
Thank you.
Remember, even as Colonel C.J. May has shared, there is always hope in Christ. Even in the most low and dire moments, there is hope. And life can get better. You can experience the good life. And sometimes the good life is seen and is most flavorful through the difficulties and the pains, because of the depth that is developed through that. You know, in the next few days, you're going to hear more stories like this from Colonel C.J. May. I want to invite you to have someone listen in. You know, invite a friend, invite a family member. You've heard it, just, man, I've got to get somebody to hear this show or this or other shows. Well, if so, direct them to thegoodlifehawaii.org, where they can access not only a show like this, but other shows like it from various genres of life. And it can connect with people. This is a great opportunity for you to use as a way to reach out to someone. It's been a blessing to you. Share it as a blessing to someone else. TheGoodLifeHawaii.org. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I've been sharpened today. Haven't you? It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Colonel C.J. May. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro, along with my technical producer, Leah Rodriguez. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.